One momento while I get organized. You okay out there? You all right? You still? Okay. Thank you, youth group, for those songs. Beautiful. And it's good to see our young people serving. Paul got up here and did announcements. He's old, but he still has his leaves. I'm up preaching, and I have a few leaves. But those young people leading the singing, and they're just beginning to bud, huh? Well, this is the fourth and last Sunday on Psalm 23. Turn with me to it, and I'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of your enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will get through today. He restores my soul. It is up to you to continue. Now, Patty and I have purchased some books. These books that I've been working out of here. A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I have a box of them with me. I'll take them out in when we have our potluck time. And if you would like one, you're welcome to take one. I would just like to call your attention, because I won't be teaching through the rest of the psalm, but I'd like to call your attention to the change after verse 4. He is talking here about the Lord, and then he says, it switches to to the Lord being kind of, and it turns into a first person. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you cover me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. It turns into a more of a personal prayer, not about him talking about the Lord as his shepherd, but then he starts talking to the Lord as his shepherd. As you read through the psalm and as you study it, and may you use this for a guide, may it bless your heart as much as it has mine. We have taken a look at, in these three Sundays up to now, what a great and wonderful Savior we have, but that he's not just our Creator, but he is a loving and tender shepherd. I mentioned at the beginning that there's two great word pictures in Scripture that describe our relationship with the Lord. There's many, but there's two of the most important ones are, he's our Father and he's our Shepherd. Oftentimes, our view of him as our Father is a little bit askewed because of maybe a father that we had or other fathers that we know, and that doesn't sometimes draw quite the comparison and knowledge that the Lord would have us to if we've had a loving father, a tender father, a powerful father, to be sure, a direction-giving father, but a tender father. And I trust that we can understand that analogy as well. But when it comes to a shepherd, maybe because we haven't been shepherds, most of us, and that... and maybe even been up close to him, This analogy seems to be real clear, how tender and loving and guiding and directing and forgiving and restoring that the great shepherd we have is. We have come to agree with David, the great king of Israel, that we are sheep in need of a good shepherd. There are two kinds of shepherds. There's the restorer shepherd that we'll talk about today, and then there's this destroyer shepherd. As we start this message today, I thought that I could put a warning up for you. This message may cause minor discomfort for some listeners. Side effects may include unrest, conviction, contemplation, prayer, and even in some rare cases, action. That's meant to have a little humor to it, sort of. And as we work through the passage, I think you'll see why I put that up there. We've also been reminded of God's provision for us. We shall not want, the shepherd David has said, no matter what the circumstances, God's provision for us is enough. Learning to live contented in whatever situation life brings us is possible in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether with much or whether with little, whether with good health or poor health. God promises that he is enough and that we can live contented in him. We've also learned that in spite of our fear, our insecurities, in spite of friction and agitation, he provides peace, rest, purpose through the word of God and through his presence. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And then last Sunday, we noticed especially the outcast black sheep of the Samaritan woman. She reminded us once again that he alone is the river of life. Life abundantly and life eternally is from the Lord. We'll throw up a picture today of a couple sheep pictures. Felt like that this week? Felt like that this week? Some people are picking this up and listening to on audio. And for my friends in Montana who are following this section, the Aerosmiths, up on the screen, Matt and Dia, is a picture of a sheep that looks like it might be dead, but it's not. It's what we call a cast-down sheep. Let's look at the next one. That's another cast-down sheep. And that's a pretty good picture because you can see the sheep is on his back, but his legs are wiggling and kicking, and he's trying to get up, but he can't. That is a pretty common occurrence with sheep, and the old English word is cast down. That's a cast-down sheep. And so that's where we're going to look today a little bit at that idea and why a sheep ends up like that and what is to be done with it. The sheep's not dead. He's just not very productive at this point. If that's a pregnant ewe and we don't find her and she stays that way and in a day or two and even cool weather she'll die, we lose the ewe, and we lose maybe two lambs with her. If she's already raised, two lambs have been born, and this happens to her, and she dies, then we have two bummer lambs. So no matter what, it's an expensive proposition for the sheep man to have his sheep roll over on their back and die. And yet it does happen. Now, one might ask, as far as the psalm is concerned, if the Lord is our shepherd, and we have such a great and awesome shepherd, how do we end up on our back? How do we end up cast down? And in our life, if the Lord is our shepherd and he's leading us, how do we end up upside down, cast down? Well, the answer to that is just because we're sheep. we make bad decisions. We get away from following the Lord. We get our eyes off of the Lord, and we end up in a predicament. Dryness in our lives, a distance from the Lord. We sense a distance. He's right there, but we don't sense that. We sense a separation, a non-communicating with Him. Even though we have this great shepherd, we still have our old nature. We still get our eyes off Him. We still end up cast down. Even David experienced this. He that wrote the 23rd Psalm also wrote the 42nd Psalm. Let me read this verse, Psalm 42:11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so distressed within me? Hope in God, for I shall still praise Him. David knew the shame and embarrassment of being cast down. We all know the story of David's sin, or his most obvious sin, most written about sin. I'm sure there were many others. But the one that we see so much of is, of course, of his adultery and actually murder of the husband, albeit under national flag. So he knew the shame of that. He knew the shame of falling into temptation and succumbing to it. He was a cast down sheep, and he asked the Lord to restore him. Another cast down sheep that I thought of in Scripture was the Apostle Peter. I don't know of anybody that would have been more cast down, so forlorn, so shameful, so mad at himself, so not able to see the light of day, the agony of failure, when Peter denied the Lord, that he even knew the Lord Jesus, the night of Jesus' arrest. Turn with me to John chapter 21. I'm still here. I'm just fumbling through my Bible. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, Lord, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now, after studying the 23rd Psalm a little bit and reading John chapter 10 over a few times, that restoration of Peter brings on kind of a new meaning to me. You see, Peter was a man with a lot of pride, a lot of get up and go. And I think what Jesus is saying to Peter here is, Peter, I have allowed you to have your pride given a great big whack, to really take it, take a beating. And because You've seen your own failures. You've seen failures in your own strength. I think now that you can trust me, and I think that you're prepared to go tend the lambs. The lambs, he calls them lambs, sheep. Feed them. See, because sometimes that's what it takes for us to have a tender heart toward others, to ministry. It takes a whack in our pride. You're just not as good as what you thought you were. Lord says, you know what? You're going to do this in your own strength. You're going to look kind of stupid. You're going to look kind of silly. But if you let me lead you, if you let me use you, if you'll submit to me, then you can go out and feed the lambs. You can tend the sheep. And I think that he's saying that to all of us. He's trying to get through to us and break down our pride, our self-centeredness, so we can see the sheep around us, so we can see how they're hurting. There's a quote from Keller, who wrote the book. I think we can put it up next. Many. That was too fast. I can't read that fast. Many people have the idea that when a child of God fails, when he is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with him. This is simply not so. This may go back to the notion that I talked about a moment ago about a father figure in our lives that just demanded perfection and demanded that we do it right again and again, or whatever it is. God knows our weakness. God knows our failing. And as a shepherd, he knows you're going to get cast down. And he is a restorer, not a destroyer. He's a restorer of our soul. And that's the one picture that we need to have in our mind as we work through the 23rd Psalm and all the rest of Scripture, is the Lord is my shepherd. He is tender. He is loving. He is understanding. He knows my weakness. He knows I'm going to fail, and he'll be there to pick me up again. And that's what you have to do with these sheep. When they're cast down and they're on the back, the shepherd has to get there and he has to turn them upright and he has to stand them up on their feet. And sometimes he's standing over them, holding them for a while because their legs are numb and they stumble and try to walk, and he has to help them get going again. Yeah, we get cast down. We get cast down ourselves. Molly had a beautiful testimony last Sunday. If you were here, you heard her speak of her and Felipe's desire to have a child, and that not coming to fruition, and then being mad at God and being angry at God. Actually, cast down. Not much good when you're in that kind of a situation, in that kind of a relationship with the Lord. And finally, the story is that come to grips with Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And those may be good things we're praying for and want in our lives, but they have to be in God's timing. They have to be at God's provision. Beautiful picture. In his book, Philip Keller offers three reasons to be cast down. Now, here to me is why I put the warning up originally at the beginning. Because when I got to this portion of the book and started to read his three reasons for a sheep being cast down, it became very personal. Became very personal. And maybe it will to you. He offers three reasons why sheep get cast down. He said, one of the things that happens to sheep is they will get ready to lie down, and often like us, they will try to find a little hollow or something that's very comfortable, kind of soft. And when they lie down in this little hollow, in this soft spot, and then they move around, try to get a little more comfortable because it's not flat, their center of gravity tips them over and they end up on their back. And he said, one of the reasons we Christians end up cast down, need to be restored, is because we've spent too much time looking for the soft places. The soft places. And I thought about that. Listen, I've been in and out of ministry of one sort or another for a number of years. I'm 74 years old, and oftentimes this thought comes through my mind. I don't need your stinking problem. I don't need your problem. I want to do my stuff, and I got it kind of planned out. And you give me a call, and you got a stinking problem. Or my family gives me a call, and they got a stinking problem. No. Let me tell you something about my personality. I have always run from conflict. I have always wanted to avoid confrontation. I hate that. Let's just all get along. Let's just all be happy. No, no. That's not the way it works. Not the way it works with me, not the way it works with my wife, and not the way it works with my family, and it's probably not the way it works with you. It doesn't always happen that way. Ministering to one another in the family of God, there's some hard places. And there's some hard things in our lives when we try to walk with the Lord. But what begins to happen to us over a period of time as you get older is that you creeping into your thinking can be that, well, look, I've spent my time. I've done my thing. I'm looking for a soft spot. I was sitting in my chair at a table studying this, and I didn't like this idea. Keller doesn't have any business telling me. He's dead and gone. He didn't have any business telling me that I'm looking for a soft spot. You know how old Joshua was when he led the children of Israel into the promised land? Moses couldn't go in. You remember why? Impatience and struck the rock. And God says, you know, Moses, you're not going in, but you've trained up a young man here, Joshua, and he's going to lead him in. How old was he? 90. 90. He was 90. You old people. He was 90. There's more old people over there than there are over here. No, there's quite a few over here. He was 90. And he had 20 more productive years and he died when he was 110. We have a group of us meet down at the auction yard on Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock for breakfast. And Here was the thing we wrestled with last Wednesday. Retirement. Sin or opportunity? I put a warning up here before this whole thing started. Okay? Retirement. Sin or opportunity? No, it wasn't meant to be any kind of a definitive statement about retirement. It was just meant to have a discussion. And we did have a discussion, and it was a good discussion. But it's the discussion we ought to have on our own hearts. Are we looking for the soft spots because we're getting up there. Or maybe we're young, but we don't like conflict, or we don't like the energy it takes to minister to somebody else, to do the right thing, sacrifice and take the time for somebody else. We like the soft places. Well, that's a good way to get cast down. That's a good way to get out of fellowship with the Lord, because he may not want you cast down right now. He may want you going 100%. So, something to think about. The other reason that sheep get cast down, that Keller said, was they get too heavily laden with wool. Now, we'll put up another picture here. Yeah. So, when they get too much wool, really heavy, you remember I put up the picture, if you were here at the beginning, of the sheep that looked like she was a wool bale with two eyes sticking out of it. She had so much wool. She hadn't been sheared in 6 years. I think they took out 68 pounds of wool off of her. But those are the kind of sheep that you get too much wool and you get over in your back, you're stuck. You're stuck. It's an interesting thing that wool in Scripture is a symbol of self. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, couldn't wear wool because it was that symbol of self, of pride. Wool, obviously, with sheep is where they touch the world. You know, that's what comes in contact with the world. That's what comes in contact with the mud. That's what comes in contact with the manure. That's what comes in contact with the sticks and the ticks and a lot of things. That's what you get. Now, wool is good, but other than keeping the sheep warm, for it to be really used by others, it has to be sheared off. So there's a lesson there in itself. Here, if you've ever watched it, and it's interesting to see in person, is a fellow shearing sheep. And usually that's how it starts. They're rolled over on their rear and leaned up against you, and they start to shear, and then they move them around and shear them off as they go. It's hard work for the shepherd, and it's sometimes not very comfortable for the sheep. And I would suppose that as we look at ourselves and see the things, whether those things be worldly ideas or worldly possessions, the things that we have that could be good, but they're getting a little too heavy, we get a little too much of them, they need to be sheared off. And the Lord does that. The Lord does that through his word. He does it through a country preacher preaching. He does it through a friend that has a Bible study with you, and you're examining things together, and all of a sudden you're looking at some things and you're going, you know what, I got to deal with some issues here in my life. The Lord wants to do a little shearing on me. A little too much soft places and then a little too much wool. The third thing he says that causes sheep to end up on their back and cast down is they are too fat. Sorry. They are too fat. And what the shepherd does when he sees that happening to his flock, he gets them out of that pasture and he puts them in one where there's not so much food. He puts them on a diet. He starts to trim down a little bit. They've been a little too successful. Now that's interesting. Keller says in his book, a little self-imposed depravity, or depriving yourself, I should say, not self-imposed depravity, we have enough of that. Limiting ourselves, thinking about where we are in life and what the Lord has us to be doing, we start thinking about, okay, what's enough? Interesting enough, I met with a gentleman here a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me that the Lord has been blessing his business. and that increasing his income. And his question was, what's the formula for enough, when there's enough for you and your family, and then you give it, how much, and where does it start giving to the Lord? Wrestling with that idea. What a beautiful thing to wrestle with. Now, here's the problem, of course. There is no formula. And there's really not even clear principles. What it is, what it will eventually come down to, is asking Jesus to actually show you and your family what it is, how you want to balance this. Where do you begin to sacrifice yourself and say, this is enough, or maybe this is too much, or whatever? And saying, no, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? See, the great joy of that, it's not a principle, but it's a relationship with Jesus. And the joy of that is that when Jesus begins to answer that for you and your family personally, because it's different for everybody. That's why in the body of Christ, you can have very wealthy folks and very poor folks. And they can all be in the body of Christ together, and they can love each other, and they can appreciate each other, and they can minister to one another, and they don't have to be jealous of one another or anything else, because that's an individual thing that God leads in each person's life. He may bless somebody with abundance, and he may say, no, for you right now, no. So we don't have to look at one another, but what we do have to look is at ourselves. And we have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I would really like to hear from you. And then that's the joy of understanding and being to realize that God can actually communicate with me and actually lead me. As for me and my house, this is what he wants us to do. And we don't have to look at somebody else and say, well, they didn't do it that way. Or they didn't. You know, quite a few years back, Bill Gothard was real popular in his Basic Youth Conflicts, and Patty and I were involved in that for a while and helping with the registration when it came to Reading. There was some good counseling and things that come out of that, but in my estimation, and this is when Patty and I began to realize this, there was a strong tendency to principalize your Christian walk. If you do 1, 2, 3, and 4, then God will do this. If you do 1, 2, and 3 in this situation, then God will do this. No, God wants a personal, intimate, daily relationship with you, and he wants you to begin to listen and hear and actually follow his direction that you're getting from him personally. That's what he wants. Now, there's principle involved in those kind of things, but those end up to be different for different individuals. It's that relationship with the Lord. I'm going to end with this little story. There's a shepherd, and he has about 100, 150 people in this. Oh, sheep. 100 to 150, 200 sheep in his flock. And he wants to take them to some high ground. He wants to take them to some pastures that are going to be really awesome for him. In fact, when they get to those pastures, those are the kind of pastures that sheep really do well in. And they do so well in those pastures that they grow and they're healthy, and they even have more babies when they're in those pastures up there. But the problem with them getting up there, it's a long trail, and it's kind of rugged and it's kind of nasty. And sometimes it's so crooked that when your sheep all line out behind trying to follow the shepherd, they can't all stay in a flock. They kind of get in twos and threes and single files as they follow the shepherd. In fact, around some of those bends, you can't even hardly see the shepherd. So you just got to keep trusting and keep following. So the shepherd says, I want to take him up there. So he turns around, looks at his flock, and he goes, I got quite a few of my flock are kind of soft. Quite a few of my flock got quite a bit of wool. Quite a few of my flock are kind of fat. But as I do look at them, they've been up in those pastures before. And they know the way to get up in those pastures. So they could be really, really helpful. But then I look at there's some more in my flock. They're awfully young. They got a lot of energy, but a lot of them they're trying to get into the soft place like those other people are. They're trying to grow more wool so they can have more wool. And they want to be a little fatter. Now, if I could just skip, but the other thing about them, they have a lot of energy. And they have a lot of enthusiasm. And they have a lot of want to. Now, if somehow I could get those two groups in that flock to really work together, we could use the wisdom and I've been there before from those old folks. From those sheep. And we could use the enthusiasm and the energy of those young people. In fact, not only could we use their energy for themselves, they might have to put a shoulder behind the butts of some of those old sheep that are having a little fat and help push them up there. I think that's where we are. I think that's where this church is. I think that's what we got to figure out. How the blend of the wise and older ones and experienced ones can be mixed with the youth and the vitality of the younger ones so that this place can have some more babies. I think that's urgent here. It is urgent to figure out how that's going to work. It is being worked on, and it is being prayed for, but I'm just here today at this last message to tell you that I think it's urgent that we carry on with that. It is the responsibility of leadership to see that that happens. That there's a mix of folks. There's maybe a diet for some of us old folks and looking for a few harder places to go as long as some young people will go with us. And there's young people that have the enthusiasm and being led by the Spirit of God, but they need the wisdom and the encouragement of the older folks. I think a good start of that is today, a potluck with testimony. I think that's a wonderful way to bring some of that about. It's a time for older folks to know the names of the teenagers and the junior hires in the church. It's a time for the junior hires and the teenagers to know the names of the older folks in the church. It's a time for flock groups. If you're pretty comfortable and you've been in that flock group a long time, wonderful. But are you praying? Do you know what's going on in a young person's life? Or if you're a younger flock group in some older folks' life? Do you know? Maybe it's time for a high school kid to go to a flock group and share about the situation that he goes to school in every day and ask for prayer from that flock group. Maybe somebody's got some friends they've been praying for a year or so, and they're trying to witness to them, and Maybe there's a flock group that needs to know those kids' names and are praying for them. I'm just throwing out things as far as suggestions that in order to love the Lord and to love one another, we have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional. And may God lead us to do that. Our Father and our God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for Psalm 23. I thank you for Philip Keller, who with his insights has jarred my thinking and hopefully jarred other folks' thinking as well, stirred our spirits to want to know you better as our shepherd, to follow you closer as our shepherd, to reach out to other sheep, and then reach out to those that are not of this fold yet, but would like to be in here. They don't know it yet, but they need to know you so they can be under your care. Lord, help us to be able to do those things. In Jesus' name, amen.